Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love.
In this special audio cast, we figure out what a cisgender male is, and what is this nonsense of toxic masculinity? Let's figure it out, so sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion as we try to discern what exactly a man is in today's world. My gosh, there are like 1,000 different types of genders these days. And at one point, it was just simple. You're either man or woman. I get it. There are some people who might be confused about what that means, but how do we then use that information to help us? Because I'll be honest with you, when I look at some of the science and some of the nonsense that I hear out there, even from reliable, quote unquote, news sources, it doesn't give us any clarity. It causes more confusion to figure out who we are as people. And so let's start with that very simple reality. What is a man? And to help me out in this discussion, we have Mark Hartfield, who is working with That Man Is You. I visited Mark in That Man Is You offices. You're going to hear more about him in his deep dish discussion as we try to figure out what exactly is masculinity, what does it mean to be a man, and what does he have to say about toxic masculinity, because it is something that is out there. It's almost like if you want to defend your family or defend your faith, you're going to be seen as a hateful, homophobe, and toxic man. And, you know, poor Gillette, they're suffering kind of big time simply because of their ad. And I get it. They don't want men to be bullies. But is that what people think men are? Well, maybe they need to understand a better definition of what it means to be a man. So I hope you enjoy this deep dish discussion as it's brought to you by CatholicSpeakers.com. Catholic Speakers is a worldwide organization that provides resources for anyone looking to book a faith-filled professional or celebrity speaker for their next event or conference. This is what Daily Newswire has to say. Event organizers everywhere have fallen in love with Catholic Speakers Organization. It's no wonder it's been the number one resource worldwide for event organizers and Catholic speakers. So you can learn more at CatholicSpeakers.com. Our proud sponsors for this week's Deep Dish Discussion, That Man Is You, with Mark Hartfield. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion talking about masculinity. That Man Is You, TMIY, is produced by Paradisius Day. And I'm talking to Mark Hartfield, the vice president of Paradisius Day, which basically means what? Because that's a big
Paradisius Day, yes. Yeah, it's the paradise of God, in Latin. Yeah. And what that comes from is the Garden of Eden, right? Yep. This paradise of pleasure that Adam and Eve enjoyed paradise before the fall. And ultimately, Christ restored paradise.
Okay.
When his heart was wounded by the spear.
Okay.
And paradise is reopened.
Dude, that is a lot of religion that just happened. And really, I want to talk about that man as you, because that it really, in today's world, that man as you just sounds so gender, how shall I say, specific. And some people don't like that. So I want to learn more about what that man as you, and then we're going to jump right into how this applies to modern right. day masculinity. What do you guys do here?
So we create, among other things, but that man as you is we create a men's program. And we offer it to parishes all over the country.
When you say men's program, like yes. what are the age groups?
18 and up. Okay. I mean, we have 18 to 80.
Okay.
Probably 90. we target that actively parenting father because of where they are in their lives and that critical time in their lives. But we get everybody.
So how do women feel about something like this? What about that women is you? Why don't you work with them?
They love it. They love it. Because
tell me about that. Are you sure?
Absolutely.
And
they
why?
Certainly want us to create something for women. We hear it all the time.
Uh-huh.
But really what they're coming back to us saying is thank you. Their husbands, a lot of times in the church, the women are very engaged in their faith. And they're dragging their husbands
yeah,
along.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I mean, there are more women that go to church than men. And the men who show up, they look honestly like they're bored to death
yeah.
or they just don't care. Is that the people you're targeting?
Absolutely.
So you're targeting Christians, particularly Catholics.
Catholics. We market in the parish, right? So
okay.
we typically get the man in the pew who's thinking more about football on Sunday than thinking about Mass.
Okay.
And somehow we attract them to the program. And that's the man who's... faith is set on fire through this 26-week journey with
okay,
other
so
brothers.
let's do this. You say you create content mm-hmm. for a 26-week program. Okay, I remember Pope Benedict saying, we don't need another program. We just need men and women who are evangelized, who know God.
Right.
But you need to have a program like this. So tell me what this program looks like.
Right, so the guys come together. Typically, it's a weekday morning before work, right? It's the only time that actively parenting father can actually commit to something if he finds value in it.
Yes.
So we have a DVD base, or you can stream it, right? We have content that
you don't have a VHS anymore?
We're getting rid of the VHS, hopefully getting rid of the DVD soon. But we play 30-minute content that's rich, engaging, deep.
Content, rich, engaging, deep. What does that mean? Because it sounds to me like a lecture.
Yes. So we have I would say a characteristics of That Man Is You is we talk about the three wisdoms
okay.
of the church. And so what that would be is we integrate natural knowledge with theology and then even get into the experiential knowledge that comes from the saints.
So the three wisdoms are again?
Natural knowledge.
Okay, which, like what comes to you naturally.
Right, which historically would be philosophy.
Correct.
But what we also do with that in our modern culture, I mean, science gets close to touching some real incredible depths of God.
Oh, I just look at everyone's falling in love with the earth again to the point where earth has become the form of love for people. They're turning it back into a god.
Right.
We're like pagans again.
I know. So, but we'll take an incredible look at the science. For example, you can look in neurology
mm-hmm.
and you can show like, well, Christ said he who sins is a slave to sin.
Mm-hmm.
We can show that neurologically without ever touching
yeah.
what Christ said in the scripture.
Oh, interesting.
So that's an example.
And then as soon as you said that, I'm thinking about enslavement of, say, pornography and masturbation and
absolutely.
Sexual
yeah.
deviancy. And so you'll be able to talk to men about an issue like masturbation,
yep.
which we know even married men do,
right.
and a lot of it,
right.
because they are slaves to it. And so you want to address the neurological
right.
connection.
And we can show them. It's amazing when you get the knowledge,
who
right?
Who does this? I mean, because priests aren't neuroscientists.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, Steve has read up on this. Steve Bowman's our founder.
Uh-huh.
Session 18 of year one. He'll even go into the chemical cocktail that goes off in your mind the moment a man sees
skin. So in other words, the people who are speaking are experts at this.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not just some like nice priest.
Right, right,
You're
right,
just
right.
talking about a really in-depth.
Absolutely.
Someone talking about the natural wisdom. What's the second wisdom again?
The second wisdom would be theology.
Okay.
And that's the theology from the church, scripture, tradition, the magisterium.
Sure.
So it's marries with those, and we'll see how they're integrated. And the third would be, it's more of the wisdom of the saints.
Hmm.
So the next step than that real depth. And when you marry those three together, guys' eyes are just opened.
How long have you been doing this, Mark? Because you seem pretty young.
Yeah.
Don't tell me your age. I just want to say
I've been doing it 14 years. So right after I got out of college, I met up with Steve, and we actually started.
So let's talk about who Steve is real quick, yep. too, for our listeners. Steve is the founder of TMIY, That Man Is You.
That's right. And Steve was a former energy derivatives trader who had a major conversion and just gave his life over to God completely. And he is just sold out into, you know, loving God and proclaiming God's message and trying to
what
rebuild
makes him an authority,
domestic church.
What would make him an authority to create literally a huge operation here? Because tell us how far your outreach is.
Right. Every week, 25, 30,000 men get together from across the United States, Canada, several other countries, 700 parishes that spans across 150 plus dioceses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a reach. When we started, there's no official authority from Steve Bowman. What's taken place is the fruitfulness, the natural fruitfulness. And so we have—
In other words, you don't have to be a priest to do this.
That's right.
He was a layman.
He's a layman.
Who just found his faith and said, why aren't we sharing this?
Right. And our cardinal, our bishop here
sure.
is just like, the fruits speak for themselves. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Keep doing what
do.
You're doing. I'm your biggest fan kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we've continued in that fashion.
So you create 26-week programs. How long are these videos?
30 minutes. So you meet for 30 minutes and then you break into small group for 30 minutes. And that's where the gold takes place as well. Because immediately after you hear this rich content, you break and you're able to talk about it with your brothers. And it's huge on so many levels. One, to integrate these thoughts into your life. But secondly, to build authentic male friendships.
This takes a lot of effort on the part. I mean, I'll be honest, as a parish priest, I remember a lot of priests were very suspicious of, quote unquote, one more thing the church has to do. Like, what's the burden factor
right.
for churches, and how do you deal with that
right.
to get it to 30,000 people?
Right. The goal is, for the church itself, it's almost nothing. So we have men.
How much does this cost?
Nothing. It's free.
What do you mean?
We give it away to parishes for free.
You give away 26 DVDs.
We give them everything.
Or VHSs.
Yeah.
Or A-tracks.
We give them the whole program for free. We give them the training for free. We have a dedicated program uh-huh. coordinator that works with them for
uh-huh.
free.
Uh-huh.
And all that's free. And the parish priest does not have to spend time, his own time,
okay.
or even staff time. We build a core team of laymen who are volunteers. Most of the time, they're not even on parish staff.
Like, do you have some guys who don't even know what the faith is about? So do they have to be experts to be part of the core team?
They don't have to be experts. You know, we want faithful Catholic men, right?
Just normal people.
That's right. We want normal people. And a lot of times, those guys have the biggest experience of fruitfulness, right?
And so they've got to like invite guys to come. Like, what's the largest TMIY gathering in a parish?
The biggest one's 200.
200.
200 guys every week.
Every week, 200 guys come together. What time do they meet?
6 a.m. to 7:30.
Unbelievable. So every week for 26 weeks, guys come, they watch a half-hour video, have a conversation, then they do some fellowship, just like have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, maybe the coffee before, and then the presentation, then the fellowship, then they break and go to work.
And what's been the experience that you've all had? Because, I mean, you're an operation of what, 10, 15 people now?
We have a staff of about 15. It's been amazing. My background is when we first started this, I was the only employee. We were just in one parish, and I worked out of a spare bedroom at Steve's house.
Uh-huh.
And now we have a staff. We have a studio
you
in
have
our
a
office.
Huge operation.
And so God has been good.
And you do everything for free. So how do you guys pay for this stuff?
Right. The men who participate in the program, we ask them if this program has impacted their lives, that please be generous. And they have. And so they've paid it forward.
Well, guys don't spend money on themselves, and when they do, it's for really selfish things like expensive cars or like a gun or video games, technology. And they don't spend it necessarily on clothes, and if they do, they have their different priorities. But they give to something like this because, tell me.
I think it's because of the impact it's made on their lives. I mean,
what do you mean by that impact? I hear that all the time.
Just completely set their hearts on fire for Jesus Christ.
Okay,
and his
now
church.
You're going to have to let me know what that means. Because
yeah.
And here's why. When people hear us talk in religious ways, set my heart on fire.
Yep.
I know what that feels like because my heart's been burning ever since I found Jesus.
Right, right.
But what does that look like, especially for a world that is very suspicious of men?
I think they rediscover their call as husbands and fathers in the home and find happiness that essentially, when you find Christ and then you realize your vocation, like a lot of these guys are walking around and they just really consider themselves like just a dude, right? And I think what they discover is a lay calling that they're called to be saints in their homes.
Do you think that men are sad?
Are sad?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad that you called it out. I think a lot of men are incredibly sad.
I think we're sad, we're stressed out, we're overworked, we have too many responsibilities. and we don't
underappreciated,
and we don't know our roles. The world's asking us to be all these different things.
Oh my gosh,
things.
I can see some women right now rolling their eyes and be like, are you kidding me? Men are in charge of everything. I mean, we need a woman president. So we're going to talk a little bit about these roles, but I wanted to at least hear about That Man Is You, because honestly, what do you think that title means? When they hear that, it goes, That Man Is You, what do people associate to that brand?
Right. Well, what it actually means is it's actually an accusation.
Yep.
Right? From the Old Testament, King David and the prophet Nathan. King David had sinned. He slept with Uriah's wife. She became pregnant. He tried to hide his sin. It didn't work. He had Uriah killed in battle. He became not only adulterous, but accomplice to murder as well.
Sure.
The prophet Nathan comes to him. King judged his case. There's a rich man and a poor man. The rich man steals the poor man's lone ewe lamb. It's the only thing he had. He slaughtered it for his guests. And the king rises up and he says, as the Lord lives, that man should die.
Yeah, King David feels like the sense of righteousness because he hears this story from prophet Nathan. And then
Nathan says, King, that man is you.
So this really is an accusation.
It's an accusation.
It's awesome.
But the story doesn't end there.
Of course it doesn't.
Right? He has consequences for his sin. He has to take personal responsibility for his sins. And so we teach the guys that. But what he does is he becomes the only man in all of Scripture that he says it becomes a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. It's in the Acts of the Apostles. So our program is called That Man Is You, Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. So we discover our sinfulness. Have we fallen in a manner analogous to King David? And we take a look at that. Is our society suffering the same consequences as King David? Yes. We take a look at that because of failed male leadership. But now it's time to repent, acknowledge the sin, and actually become a man after God's own heart.
Okay, and so give me a few characteristics before we take a quick break.
Sure.
What would be the characteristics of That Man Is You, Man Is You?
Right.
With That Man Is You, Man. That Man Is You, Man. Yeah.
We actually, in that first year, we do seven covenants that the men take over the course of a Lenten journey.
Okay.
Seven steps, if you will. And it's Catholicism 101 spiritual practices, right?
Sure.
We're going to take sexual purity. We're going to the sixth and ninth, the commandments. We're going to avoid anything.
How much do you focus on with sex? Because guys don't really know what it is. They've watched videos, I'm sure. But I mean, and I've seen, listen, I used to do marriage preparation. And one guy at the end of it said to me, Father, you're the first person to actually talk about sex in a way that didn't make me feel horny, but I now feel like an adult. And I'm like, yeah, because there's more to it than just an orgasm.
Right. Yeah. It's ultimately, it's beautiful, right? It's a gift from God. It's supposed to be called holy,
a
right?
A gift, not a right. Big difference.
Right. And so we do go into that and then we take a look at it, a serious look at it.
Sure.
And that's even where we get into this neurological thing.
And that's
as
really
well.
Beautiful because it's just men talking with each other about it, not in a locker room setting.
Right.
But truly in a place of brotherhood.
A place of brotherhood.
Where we're caring about each other.
And we've heard so many stories from priests who then come back to us
and say, you wouldn't imagine
the fruitfulness of what I'm hearing in the confessional.
Oh,
from these
guys
having gone through this.
So besides purity, what are some of the other characteristics of a man that man is?
Finances.
Man. Okay.
So we're going to take a good look at finances. We're going to look at giving our first fruits. We're going to look at getting out of debt.
So
we're
generous,
look at,
not cheap.
Yeah, living below our means.
What else? Humble. Okay.
Right. We're going to take a look at setting our mind on the things above. So reading scripture.
Oh.
Things
so teaching
like,
him like more about how to be a spiritual man.
Absolutely. And they can start to feed on Christ himself.
Great.
Right? That's one of the three foods. We have the Word of God, the will of God, and the Eucharist. So we're going to focus on all three of those three spiritual foods for the men. They can feed upon Christ and be nourished by him.
Well, now you're talking my language.
There we go.
When we come back, we're going to talk about, is That Man Is You just engendering more gendered kind of tones of toxic masculinity? I want to hear all about this from Mark Hartfield when we return with more Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. We hope you're enjoying this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And if you want even more exclusive content for our premium subscribers, we make it very easy for you. With our new system, we've joined Patreon. patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds, where you can sign up to be a supporter for everything we're doing with Plating Grace, as well as the Table Foundation. I'll be honest with you, we're doing so much and we're providing so much free content. We definitely can use your help to get the message out there, bringing conversions one conversation at a time, and also some amazing recipes. So join our movement, be a supporter by going to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with my deep dish discussion, Mark Hartfield, the vice president of Paradise Day. That man is you. And you heard him talk about things that perhaps guys don't really talk about. Purity. They're talking about spirituality, being humble. These don't sound very masculine. I mean, are you asking us to get in touch with our feminine side?
No, these things are extremely masculine. Yeah, we're asking people to come to know Jesus Christ, right?
Okay.
And live as Christ lived. He was the man of all men, right? Behold the man, H.A. Homo. So yeah,
So it's really helping a man to know Jesus and learning from Jesus how to be a man.
Amen. That's exactly what it is.
And Jesus he was totally not woke at all. I mean, he was totally a calm dude who knew when to get up in front of people. And, you know, the one story is he got mad, turned these cords into a whip to kick out these people in a church. He looked pissed.
Amen.
And so where is anger? How does that fit into masculinity? Where does that kind of like tough guy, you know, I will pump you up. And I just dated myself with that 1980s Saturday Night Live reference. Excuse my French, you know. But where does the typical masculinity fit into that man is you?
That's a great question. That's a really deep question.
It's incredibly deep. I'm shooting the shiitake here, Mark.
That's right. This is deep stuff.
The only thing missing is a beer, for goodness sakes.
That's right. And our newest year to That Man Is You is actually called The Fight of Faith. And we're going to get into these identities, like biblical identities of male masculinity. And you see Paul in the book of Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life. And he calls upon Timothy to become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul's using this language of being a soldier. We see all of salvation history actually is a war and a battle between the serpent, the lady,
sure,
and her seed, right? We see from Genesis 15 to Revelation 12. Sorry to scripture.
It's a lot
quote
of Bible. No, it's fine.
From the book ends of scripture, that's actually
it's a battle scene.
It's a battle scene, and what you find in the Gospels is the fulfillment of that battle taking place. That Christ has come and entered into our battle to win this battle.
A lot of people might look
us
at this and be like, "Oh my gosh, you just want to make me cry as a guy." I mean, is that one of these things where you're going to see just a bunch of guys dancing around a campfire naked and getting in touch with, I don't know, their deeper self? Because there's some really weird stuff out there on masculinity.
Yeah, we have none of that.
You're keeping your clothes on. All right, good.
No
campfires.
No.
So, but I mean, people's hearts are moved to the point where they are becoming a little bit more sensitive.
Yeah, and I think that the first and foremost place where our ministry calls them to engage in this battle is that, look, at the end of the day, the family's under attack. That's the place where Satan's attacking the most. We see that it's, even if you're not religious, the family is the building block of society.
And so you want this man to stand up for his family.
Amen. That's first and foremost. We are calling upon him, and over that course of time, when they're hearing this message over and over, and actually their hearts have this, it's in their hearts already.
Sure.
We're explaining that to them. We want them to go engage at home. And what does that mean? Be present. It means spend time with your family, engage in them. Sometimes it just means go have fun.
Yeah.
Like, want to be holy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go play with your kids today.
Absolutely.
Be present with them, have fun with them, have joy with them, like all these things. And at the same time,
I think the things that we just want out of a dad. So what are some of the statistics that you've gotten from something like this, or things about how engagement of men in their families, how does that affect families? Because, you know, women can do it just like a man can do it. We'll hear that a lot.
No, I mean, I'm not the guy who memorizes stats, but I can tell you this. We have stats that show when it comes to faith and family, the role of the man is absolutely critical, especially handing on the faith, but even not just from a faith perspective. Grades, depression, do they drink? etc. All that has to do with, I mean, honestly, the dinner table, right? And being present at the dinner table. Kids have been surveyed and says, they say, what do you want to talk about? They even say they want to talk about these things with their parents. We think our kids don't want to talk about this stuff.
That's a lie.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
They actually crave our presence. They crave our wisdom if we would offer it. They crave our friendship. They crave all these things.
Oh my gosh, they want nothing more than to be loved.
And if we don't give it to them, that's when they turn elsewhere. To Google or their friends and all these things. And so, absolutely.
So let's get to how that man as you interacts with the world that is very gender neutral, gender specific, gender confused. Gender identity is dysfunctionality, at least in my opinion. But I'd like to hear how you guys interact with that culture in that world. Have you even had to do that? Have you had men come up to you because of this and say they struggled with homosexuality, struggled with gender identity? And here's why. One of the people that I interviewed, he was a father of 5 daughters, and he struggled with identity. What do you guys do with stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, this is a
it's deep.
Relatively new topic as well, as far as like being a... We haven't had a ton of that, honestly.
Okay.
We just haven't dealt... we haven't heard about a ton of it. So we haven't had to deal with it yet. We typically haven't gotten into that.
Well, that's okay. And I guess your brand, you're specifically targeting those husbands who just want to be good husbands and good dads.
Right.
So you're not really getting into the realm of all the politics.
We don't get into the politics of that particular issue. We go to a different level with that specific issue, even be more controversial.
I'd love to hear it.
The spiritual side of gender, that God has created us from the beginning, male and female, and we'll talk about different ways in which we're different, but yet we're complementary.
Okay.
So we'll talk about the role of the man, and even different, again, neurological things. Men are created different even biologically.
Oh, absolutely.
We have different skills. Our brains are different. They're different shapes. They're different sizes. Different parts are more developed, right? Which makes us prone to have greater leaderships in other ways, and women to have greater complementarity, and their geniuses can be fulfilled in other ways, right? They can do things we can't do, right? I'm never going to get pregnant and have a baby and nurse a baby, right? And so we talk about the beauty of both sides of men and women and how the church would talk about it, right?
Now, is this whole That Man Is You program, did it start just simply because a man, you know, just wanted to kind of show how awesome men are?
No, I mean, honestly, where this began is our founder, Steve. He never intended to start men's ministry.
Okay.
He felt called from God to do a couples ministry and help families and couples. He had a friend, Robert Vio, who on 3 occasions asked him to start men's ministry because he said he was going to one at the Protestant church down the street. And he said, their program's great. The problem is, and there's like a third of the guys were Catholic who were going to it. And he said, the problem is we don't have anything like it in the Catholic church.
Okay.
So he kept challenging him. And finally, Steve said yes, reluctantly. And then everyone on staff said, no one's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean no one's going to come? No one's going to come. Men aren't interested in talking about God, especially at 6 in the morning. The first week, 124 guys walked through the door. And before that first year was over, men were coming from other churches, like 5, 6, 7 different churches. How can we take this back to our parish next year? That's when we said, wow, God's doing something. We need to figure out how to...
So in other words, there has been a real lack that the church has been paying attention to just the man.
Absolutely. So much so, there's no one at the parish level that this even falls under. So we're not even stepping on any toes when it comes to, you know what I mean? At the parish, when we say we want to do men's ministry, they're like, okay, just get approval from Father. There's no one even jurisdiction it falls under. So core teams just come in, they get approval from their pastor, and they're off to the races.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really, because no one's really doing anything at 6 o'clock in the morning. I knew a group that was meeting at 5 in the morning. People are sick, you know, but they're just doing it because they've got to get to work.
Yep. And honestly, even at the diocesan level, we have a hard time. We don't find anyone that this falls under. Men's ministry. And in many cases. It's true.
That is very true. There has been a real focus on the woman and children and seniors, but there's been very little men's ministry stuff.
Right. Especially that enriches their faith. A lot of the men's things out there are good for service, which are great.
Oh, yeah. We just make them kind of clean up and set up.
Yeah, and they make food. And those things are phenomenal, right? But this is like spiritually enriching for the man that he's being fed, mm-hmm. right? He's not being asked to feed others. He's being fed spiritually so that he can become a source for others.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're speaking my language again with food here. So what's next for that man is you?
We are continuing to create products and we're growing. We're currently in 700 parishes. We'd like to get that to 1,000. So we're in growth mode. And at the same time, we're building out, I would say, different layers of, you know, some women want to go deeper, right? So where this program comes in, it's for everybody at the parish. It's a cast the net wide kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the mode of, yeah, we have 30,000 guys coming. What about the 1,000 or the 5,000 who want to go really deep into their faith and take the next step?
Like, what does that even mean?
Like,
become a deacon?
It could be, but a pathway to holiness is what it means.
Got it.
We're offering and we're in the cusp of creating something that says, truly, this is a way to holiness that you can walk. We will want to walk with you to this pathway to Christ.
Okay. So just a couple more questions here. And the first one has to do with, again, man in relationship to the woman. You said something about how men's brains are a little bit more developed than women's in certain areas, right? Can you explain that? Just because I don't want to get anyone
sure,
mad.
Sure, sure, sure. Thank you.
No. I'm giving you the chance. Yeah.
Things such as building or engineering. Obviously, we have women engineers and things like that. But the man's brain, as it's seen today, right, is more developed in these particular areas. It's even fitting with my own children, right? Of what their skill set is. Like my daughter, and when it comes to reading and writing, she's 10 years old and she reads better and writes better than I could ever dream of.
Uh-huh.
And there's certain parts that I'm just like, wow. And from the moment she's born and the way that they take baby dolls and play with them and take care of them and nurture for them. Whereas if you had given that to me as a child, I would have played war with those babies, right?
Sure.
Right? You're hitting them, their heads against each other and fighting with them. They're nursing them and take care of them and talking to them.
Yeah.
And so
it's
just to say that we're different.
The reason I bring it is because, yeah, difference is one thing, but a lot of people just go to inferior versus superior. Like when we get that scripture where, you know, wives be submissive to their husbands. What do you guys say about that?
Yeah.
And then just one final question.
Sure. Submissive under the mission of. So the mission of the husband, if you look later in that verse,
sure.
Right? Christ is saying, husbands,
to love your wives.
Lay down your life.
That's right.
As I laid down my life for my bride. If husbands did that,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't be a hard mission to be under, right?
No, not at
if
all.
If the husband was there, and you look at Christ as the example, he's a servant leader.
Sure.
Over and over, he's telling us, I mean, he's washing their feet. He's the leader, and yet he's the bottom of the totem pole. He's washing the disciples' feet. He's dying for them. It's a gift. He's giving everything to them. He's giving his life to them.
So difference in gender does not have anything to do with who's better than the other.
No.
Just need to get people to get Absolutely over not. That because it's stupid.
It's a lie from the devil.
It's just stupid,
right?
To me. It's
stupid.
Dumb.
It's,
last question here.
Yep.
What can I do as a priest to be a good priest for you?
To be a good...
Everyone gets stumped on that, but I ask all the time.
It's a great question. I mean, I think it sounds simple.
Yeah.
But I think for the priest today, the most important thing is, like the rest of us, staying close to Christ and a personal relationship to Christ. And I think everything that you have to offer in your priesthood is going to come forth from that. And I think if we have priests who are masculine, who are living out their calling.
Oh my gosh, we could have talked about that too.
That's going to be attractive.
That's going to be something that I have to bring out maybe in a deeper dish discussion, just masculinity of priesthood, because that's a different story altogether. Wow, that's challenging.
That's a big one.
That's a big one, which is why I'm going to do it in another episode of Shoot the Shiitake, but it's real a pleasure, Mark, to speak with you. Mark Hartfield, the Vice President of Paradisus Day that produces That Man Is You. They can learn more at...
thatmanisyou.org.
thatmanisyou.org. And when I return, I'll come back and I'll actually share a little bit about priesthood and masculinity in my deeper dish discussion and my carryout order. What did I learn from Mark? When I return in just a moment on Shoot the Shiitake. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for my deep dish discussion after talking to Mark Hartfield of That Man Is You. It's rightly brought to you by Paradisius Dei, which is really helping to discover the superabundance of God within marriage and family. It was first started by Steve Bowman's, and he was the founder of That Man Is You, and he's kind of seeing himself as a missionary. It was great to hear his story about how he brought Mark on after being a recent graduate, and then so many years later, this is now an international movement to help men just become men. So one of my carryout orders is simply where this came from, That Man Is You, the accusation from the prophet Nathan, basically accusing King David of being a hypocrite. And the word hypocrite comes from the Greek for actor. And we are sometimes acting. Like sometimes when I look at men act super tough, they're acting because deep down inside, they're just little boys wanting to get affirmation. And sometimes when I see men acting wimpy in the face of struggle, that man is acting. He's not living up his to potential to actually be vir, which is for man, where we get the word virtue, which also means strength. He's not acting strong as he should be. We're also acting when I see women acting like men and men acting like women. You know, there is a quality of both male and female in every gender. Like my mom is tough, you know, but she's still a woman. My dad has a sensitive side to him, but he's still a man. And so what I think this conversation did for me was just remind me that even though I'm out there trying to preach the good news and doing all these things to kind of help promote the faith, even if it's in odd ways like this show, Shoot the Shiitake, I can't be an actor. I've got to remember that I'm a sinner trying to be a saint. I'm not a saint who doesn't sin. I hope you all can see the difference. And that's where we are. That Man Is You is just trying to get us to understand who we are, that God, honest, humble truth. And you've heard me say this before. The word humility comes from the Latin humus, where it means dirt. You know, like, so a person who is humble, a human, comes from the earth. We are dirt, and to dirt we shall return. So That Man Is You is just kind of going back to the original, what Mark describes as the three wisdoms. And I didn't really have a chance to explore by name the third wisdom. That first wisdom was just basically pure science and also incorporated with philosophy. And then the second wisdom was theology. What does God say? What is the theologos? The logos means word, but it's also where we get the word logic, the logic of God. So we've got human science that can teach us so much, theology that can inform our science, and it's called a conscience, a conscience. And then the third wisdom is the practicality of how saints have combined the world's understanding of truth and God's understanding of truth and have made an impact and a difference. And I think that's where Mark was describing all of the reality of making sure that we know that a man is in first and foremost relationship with God. And if that is a good, authentic relationship, truly, not one that we make God in our image and likeness, telling God what to do, but really having God tell us who we are. You know, we are sinners trying to become saints. If we love God, then we're going to learn how to love others as God loves us. That means not being a bully, not being a jerk, not being aggressive. And so that third practicality, that third wisdom, that practicality of the saints, that lived experience of grace, I think that's what men are desperately seeking for. So I'm not really out to promote a program because, you know, even though he called it a program, I would have to disagree with Mark. I don't know if it is a program. Maybe it's more than anything, an invitation into a process and for a process for a man to just discover himself. And it kind of is impressive that they don't really make a big deal of it because it's for free. God, I wish I, look, all of my content for the most part is for free. Like I have to sell books just because guess what? I mean, I wrote those books, but it's these production companies and these publishers who sell them. So, you know, they deserve their wage. You know, for the most part, even my TV shows, they're free. I don't even take any advertising. And I'm learning that the only way that any of the work that I do can really be done with any effect is if we get people to donate and support us. And so I'm super impressed. That's one of my other carry out orders, is that their content is good to the point where people want to give to support their cause. I certainly hope that the content that I produce is good enough that people want to support us. And so if you do, make sure you do that at patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. But I was just super impressed that everything they do is for free, and they're not a small organization anymore. It's because Steve is a businessman. He kind of knows what he's doing when it comes to scaling. Gosh, I wish I knew all that stuff before I started doing all that I'm doing. Now, again, a lot of this is God's grace. I think men care about being a good husband figure, a good father figure, a good son figure, and a good brother figure, and also just a good darn neighbor. It's like, you know, we need men in this world. And so this whole toxic masculinity, I mean, it was very appropriate that Mark didn't, you know, take the bait, so to speak, and jump in and just basically turn into politics, because honestly, I think it is politics that is messing things up. Again, polis, from the word understanding of city, a gathering of citizens, people, a gathering of the people, that's a polis. And I just think that if the polis is not informed of the wisdoms, including theology and the practical experience and the wisdom of saints, then they're going to rely only on human science. And let me just tell you something about human science. It's not always right. I mean, it's just not always right. They'll always say, oh, we discovered another species that didn't exist. Well, that species has existed. We just didn't know about it. In other words, science has got a lot to learn, and we've got to get back to the basics. And that's exactly what that man is you is doing. So I love the fact that it's an accusation for us not to be hypocrites. I love the fact that they're relying not just on one form of wisdom, but on the three wisdoms. I'm glad that Mark, you know, this carry out order, that it didn't have to become all about politics, because again, it can mess things up. If the polis, the people, the gathering within the city center, if they are not educated, and let's admit there are a lot of uneducated people in our cities and in our world, this quote-unquote program, which is really an invitation into a process of self-discovery, will help, really will help. So that is kind of my carry-out order. It's been just great to get to know, you know, Steve Bowman, as well as Mark and the team at That Man Is You, more specifically and more personally. I've heard about this. I have had them in my different parish experiences in the past, and they are an impressive group. These men wake up super early, come to just watch a 30-minute video, half an hour of fellowship and conversation, and these conversations and fellowship turn into friendships, and those friendships turn into brotherhood, because steel strengthens and sharpens steel. You know, I mean, men need other men in their life, not in a like homosexual kind of way, but in a very real intimate way. Men need brothers. They need men who love them. You know, they need brothers like the disciples loved one another. It wasn't in any way an odd relationship. It was very natural. And so I think as our world continues to grow in a very divided way, I think something like That Man Is You is helping people to just to become more rooted in who they are. We are all children of God, and God has sons and God has daughters. And the more we confuse that mix, the more our world is just going to become really not a human family anymore, but dysfunction and utter confusion. And all I think a man really wants is to love his wife and to love his bride, to love his children, and to make sure he has a healthy love of himself. And I hope that you enjoyed this special Shoot the Shiitake. I want to thank Mark Hartfield for his time and his conversation. And I want to thank our sponsor, CatholicSpeakers.com. It is a place where you can find what you're looking for. If you're looking for a professional or celebrity speaker for their next event or conference, all you've got to do is visit CatholicSpeakers.com. And so between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, please tell your friends and your family, share this show with them, encourage them to sign up on their favorite podcast platform or listen to it directly at shootthishiitake.com. You can also send me your questions, your emails, and basically your criticisms if you want. I'm happy to receive that as well. But between now and the next time we share conversation that hopefully leads to conversion, please take care of yourself and stay hungry.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.